this is Petula Clark, and I love to go down on young girls here on Radio 1.
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks. This is Alice Cooper. This is Sybil Roscoe. Get twat.
Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice.
Confidence, the preference, the habitual voyeur of what is known as. A morning sniff can be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as. Tom's got through and through. He gets intimidated by the dirty kitchen. They love a bit of him.
Oh, my God.
Who's that couple all marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
All the people. So many people.
Oh, my God.
I get up when I want, except on Wednesday, when I get rudely awakened by the dustman. I put my trousers on, have a cup of tea, and I think about leaving the house. I feed the pigeons. I sometimes feed the sparrows too. It gives me a sense of enormous well-being. And then I'm happy for the rest of the day. Safe in the knowledge there will always be a bit of my heart devoted to it.
Christmas mix. My favourite present this year. Himself off. Okay, in today's Lovely Hen, festive sods of the day include Peter Stringfellow and Martin Lewis, interviewed by human cattle prod Peter Hamill. Paul Garner is right now looking for a taxi in Cambridge to bother. Peter Benham's in today. He's trying to look through the speaker of your radio to see you. We'll come back to him later. Also today, as the events rhino canters loosely round the news playpen, we keep you up to date. The main story so far, Jimmy Savile drops dead at the Stoke Mandeville Boxing Day bash, but the patients are far from mourning.
The majority, if not all of them, are extremely relieved that he's now dead. Although I suspect that some of them will be sorry that he didn't suffer a great deal more.
And also today, some of the news highlights of the year, January 94 to December 94.
I knew that the tabloids would try and make it down market, try and pick up sensational bits of which there are none, and ruin the sophisticated image which I wanted this book to have.
Remember that? Anna Pasternak there defending her book, co-written with a male author, titled Die, I Emptied My Nuts on Her Chest.
The point of Thursday.
I hope it's not my age, but I would like to say.
to Cyndi Lauper. Isn't Phil Collins a little ganker?
Yeah, the best thing about Christmas this year, due to increased competition between phone companies, all calls to the States are free for this week.
Hello.
Good afternoon, ma'am. This is Hal Baggs from the San Francisco Research Institute, ma'am, and I have to inform you that one of our terrestrial dolphins has escaped.
Is it, would it be possible it could come into Sonoma County?
Napa Valley sighting confirmed.
Yeah, we have a sighting in the Napa Valley, which
what is... What does it look like?
Do you know what a dolphin looks like?
Uh-huh.
It looks like a dolphin, and it's a terrestrial form.
Okay. What does terrestrial form mean?
Can come out on land, and it has a brown color.
Okay.
It's just got an extra single foot on its stomach.
And... would it be in the rural areas, like around parks and stuff?
Sure. It creeps along on the left-hand side of things.
Now, is this... would it attack?
You'll notice that if the animal is going to attack, it increases in size about 5 or 6 times.
Ooh. How big is it?
Well, it's about 12 feet long normally. And if it's getting angry, it'll blow itself up to about 60 feet long and the size of a house.
Oh, my stars. Oh, my stars.
So you tell your kids, you know, tell your kids to watch out and don't kick a ball at it. They playing with balls?
There's a kid out front playing with balls, yeah.
Yeah, well, don't kick a ball at it. If you kick a ball away from it, it'll get smaller.
Wow.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
I appreciate your calling.
You're very big.
Oh.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Feedback report. And this, you may remember, 1994, REM released their Monster LP. But there was more shame for them than that. As a shocked world discovered, they had recorded a commercial for Japanese television which advocated hunting and eating whales.
When you are hungry, you're not hungry. You are starving. Oh, body, body, nutrients, nutrition, stomach, stomach, empty, willing. Oh, hey, what's on my plate? No, it's not something. It's part of your culture to hunt it, and it's flipped for licking good. Yummy, yum. Whale, eat me, whale me, when you need a treat. Shiny, flappy, meaty creature. Pull that baby up and see, fill its face with tail meat. Smiling, happy, beautiful, nourish. What a whale's for, if not for eating. It's good to kill them, they're not.
Song made R.E.M.'s Michael Stipe shave his head in shame as they were discovered advocating the benefits of whaling. And here's today's feedback report number one.
Righto, sir. We're looking today at white face trouble. It does cause some difficulty, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
What happens if you get a lot of white faced people with faces considerably wider than their shoulders, overlapping and drooping down and so on, in one place?
I think they get aggressive.
What would happen there?
Just have a collision all over, wouldn't there?
What, banging at the head level?
Yes.
Where would be the worst place for a large number of white-faced people to conglomerate?
Yes, up to a cul-de-sac, you know, for...
Facing which way? The blank end or the...
The blank end.
You were in a window, say, overlooking it, medieval style. What did you see?
Well, like, it might panic a bit, you know.
Panic, turmoil?
Yes, that's right.
What about the ones at the front who are being crushed by the white faces coming up behind them?
I think I just feel sad for them, really.
Would you offer up a prayer?
I promise that they are fathers.
What about white-faced children taking exams? What problems could happen there?
Yes, that could be copying, you know, it's cheating, really. If I could look over the shoulders,
What, with the width of their face?
Yes.
Let me just get to grips with this. When we're talking about white-faced people here, do you imagine the face wide at the front and the head tapering to a point at the back, or parallel sides all the way through?
All the way through, I think.
So a wide face and a wide back to the head.
That's right.
What is a really bad width for a face?
I'd say it's any more than 3 foot wide to be properly dangerous.
And the ideal width for a face?
I'd say two.
Two?
2 feet.
Okay, rather sadly, to keep a festive spirit in here, I brought in a few presents that I got since it's Boxing Day. Half of them are broken. But Peter brought in a whole sack full.
Well, some of this stuff, I mean, some of this stuff is so rubbish, I couldn't even bother giving it to people, so I brought it in.
Okay, we'll look at that after the lightning season.
The world is full of fools. Never get it right.
Going out tonight.
This is Alice Cooper. This is Sybil Roscoe at Twitter.
Couldn't believe it on the way in. Some shops have already started the January sales. It's Boxing Day. It's not the receiving, it's the buying that counts. People are sort of like, you know, they spend a whole week shopping their asses off, and what happens? They have one day off, and suddenly they go, oh, let's go shopping again. Plunging back into the same nightmare, exactly the same nightmare, the appalling world of gift shops, of those stupid little sparkly gifts. The only difference is you get them for a little bit less money. Does that suddenly make them worthwhile? Does it suddenly make the crescent moons worthwhile, or the golden seahorses, or this titting little golden cherubs?
Oh, God.
And all this bath stuff. It's the world of the bath. Basically, you know, you turn down the lights, you light up some candles, you're on a big, full, steaming bath, and you lie back, and then you just enter in this own little cocoon of bath land. And so many gifts are orientated that way, all crescent moon and seahorse.
Look at this. I mean, I can't even bring myself to give this to somebody. Why did I buy this?
You bought that last week.
Yeah, what? Look at
it. You can get it for less now.
Pathetic, isn't it?
Well, describe it. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's
crazy.
What is it? I mean, it's like a little bath rack that's sort of, like, bent, sort of pre-aged, sort of falsely aged metal that goes across your chest in the bath. You know, with, like, what's this little wine glass tray there? You see that?
That is a wine glass tray.
A little wine glass tray, and there's a little recess for your book as well. You can
it's quite seductive, Peter.
Yes, isn't it nice? Yes.
What kind of book would you be reading then?
Oh, Wild Swans, I would imagine. Yes.
Wanker.
Yes, and like little. Oh, look at this little crescent moon shaped candlestick area here.
Moon.
To the left.
It's got a seahorse on it as well.
Oh, yes, and a cherub probably.
It's got little wells to put my aromatherapy in.
Of course.
Oh, I feel a bath coming on. Do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to turn off the lights, I'd like to get up a big steam, and I think I'd like to listen to some opera. Just lie back in the water. And look at this. Look, I got a bubble bath here, right? And, it's got some special smell of knowledge and understanding balls in it. They're shaped like crescent moons as well. And you get this, look, this special beard and glasses to put on the bubble bath. So it's wise foam.
Oh, wise foam. Nice taps. You see the taps on mine?
Yeah.
Little crying dolphin taps.
Beautiful.
One of a range of endangered species taps that blub water into your bath as you're lying.
Oh, Peter, what other animals have you got there?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps a hammerhead horse.
Oh, what about these sweating cherub taps? They're my favourite.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I want a sweating cherub seahorse tap. And for drying me out when I get out of the bath, I want a big mechanical manatee that beckons me out of the bath. It's all made of toweling. It beckons, it cradles and dries.
Yes, yes. Yes, and how about a nice towel storm cubicle? You step in, you shut the door, you press a button. Towels fly up past you, dry your body.
Oh, I want to change the music. Let's have some Michael Nyman. And we can play this game. This floating game, look.
Oh, yes, lovely floating Botticelli.
Botticelli in the bath. Shall we play?
Yes. Why don't you ask me some questions about myself, Chris, and I'll tell you who I am.
Okay, right, Peter. Are you 20th century?
Mm-hmm.
Do you work in films?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Do you write films?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're not Richard Curtis, are you?
Yes.
Oh, God, may I say, Richard, that you're a genius and Four Weddings and a Funeral was marvellous.
Thanks, yes.
And do you know what I really love about The Vicar of Dibley?
Yes.
Apart from the fact it's so funny and heartwarming, all the characters are so real.
Absolutely.
And whilst you're playing Botticelli in the bath, you can learn about yourself. Do you know how?
How?
By pissing in the water.
Ah.
There's a special dye, and they come out of crescent moon-shaped tablets as well. And they reveal secrets about your character. There are three colours here. There's Equinox, Sargasso, and Little John. You know, the brilliant blue piss water of Little John, I'm reading from the instruction now, means that you have inward-facing tears, and your inner seahorse is being attacked by whore shrimps. Oh, look! Look, the black Sargasso collar. That means I'm outgoing.
What's that?
Nice bath bib. That's a bath
bib? A lovely bath bib.
Oh, God.
You put it over your head. You put it, floats on the surface of water, covers in the entire surface of the bath. You're surrounded by a little world environment.
Like what?
Yes, like miniature sea otters. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, let me change the music. A bit of foray. So you've got a bath bib on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an environment surrounding you. Hey, look at this. Look. An African bath bib. It's called African Swamp Dawn. And through the mist of your own bath is revealed the magic of a dark continent. A polythene-sealed liquid photochemical backdrop breathtakingly recreates the golden iridescence of the sun god's magic awakening. Night creatures scurry for cover, as does a crescent moon. At the margins of your bath bib, little reeds quiver as tiny ibis emerge looking for clams. A miniature African lady brings her washing to the steel-cool water. A distant hippo splash sends egrets skimming low over the water towards us. Skim you like sprites, you beauty birds, while above we are bewitched with the dreamy poetry of flamingos in flight.
Oh, and on the bank, a mad elephant jumps gleefully up and down on all fours. Boing, boing, boing. He's up there on the bath ledge. Hey, Peter, what's that?
That's a little duvet for my candles.
What?
Because they're all tired when they finish.
Oh, hooray!
HMV has been talking to Peter Stringfellow. Here is part one of his interview. Peter Stringfellow, welcome.
My pleasure.
Hi there. Stringfellow's the name. Was it simply the name?
Well, you mean, was I born with it?
Shares 60% of the letters of the word nightclub. Is that why you named your club Stringfellows?
Okay, no, let me explain that. When I first started in 1960, number one, Stringfellow didn't have any glamour in those days.
Apart from having written Hiawatha.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And the different range of people you attract, a huge range of people, don't you?
I do that deliberately.
Yeah, from Stones, you've got the Jet Set, Rock Stars, the Blunties, the Siders, the Riders, and the Hex. They're all there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my door is very wide. If you make the effort and you look good, you can come in. Because basically, we're all of one type.
But you see a Plunty come into the club. He's looking a little bit down. Would you actually go up to him?
Yes, I do that.
What would you say to a plumber you came in?
I just say, hey, nice to have you in. Welcome to the club. Let me get you a drink. Once they're in the club, I'll look after it.
What kind of cuisine do you give them?
Well, in the early days, we used to have, of course, like everywhere else in London, you had your menu in French.
You had your menu in?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like violin players?
Do I like who?
Well, you say you had your menu, and are violin players the sort of people that you actually have in?
Vinnie Jones comes in, and he's a great guy. Isn't it violin? He's just letting him sing.
He's not a violin player, is he? No, but you had your menu in, and Stefan Grappelli, say?
Yeah, why not?
If you came back as an article of clothing in the next life, what would it be?
Oh, that's an easy one. It would be white, it would be slightly frilly, not too big, and it's known as a G-string. Girls.
And that would still be fine. Would you like to wear it?
That depends entirely. I mean, I wouldn't be seeing too many faces, would I, down there, so...
You'd be looking out at your clients and giving them a wink and saying, well done, mate, put another fiver in there.
I certainly wouldn't want to be a shoe, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to be a shoe. Cotton or nylon or...
Oh, now we get into it. I'd be quite happy to be a little cotton one, because I like cotton. I think
cotton is nice.
But, you know, a slight little silky one with a little bit frilly edges, that'd be nice.
Hung up on a bedpost and getting a little bit excited about the next time you're going to be worn.
Absolutely. Right. That's what I would do.
So that's what you'd like to be. Seriously, even if you only had a very limited consciousness.
You know, we had a bit of a conversation last night in the club about this. And
yeah, I can imagine.
The guy would say he'd like to be a woman for a couple of weeks. I said, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
All the guys, with the exception of me, would like to be a girl for a week.
And you said, guys, you can be women, I'd be a G-string.
Well, actually, I kept that one quiet, love, you know, because the one I was wearing at the time was getting a bit tight.
But you wouldn't want to be a G-string on yourself, would you?
No, absolutely.
No, you want to be right up in the soft, warm recesses of a twat.
You can't actually say that, can you?
Let's be honest about this.
Let's use the right words. Let's use the word vagina, not twat.
Just time for Newsbeat to have a quick go on this Nirvana game. Do you want to play?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, hang on. So everybody is basically, it's a board game, Nirvana board game. Everybody is Kurt Cobain. You're a little red Cobain, I'm a little yellow one. Let me shake. Here we go. Okay, now I pick up a chance card. And it says, run out of smack, go on stage in a wheelchair. Okay, you go.
All right, Luke Cars. Record rubbish fourth album, release under the name of Stilsky.
I hope I don't get this card. It says, buy a big new house with a granny flat. Uh-oh.
Christmas 94 on 1FM.
Next up for Arrested Development, Peter Stringfellow 2.
Taking the bath with the sun rays, letting the aura of life soak me. Living in the country, thinking cows all around me. I'm bored, I take a drive into the city limit. Life is just a secret recipe, I'm all up in it. Being a grandfather that I am, one can forget it. Today I figure I deserve to swerve from my normal nerdy status. That engulfs the time that is. Just what I need, so here it goes. I suppose that is on. Take out my dress with aloe. Vera, it's Vera. Brother like me, will I agree with your reason? Quick feet and go party with Baba. But yo, I gotta be hip and dip with the fountain of you.
The fountain of you, the fountain of you. The fountain of you, the fountain of you. The fountain of you.
Once I learned to dip, I got drenched. Without the fear of drowning, my ears can hear the sound, and my eyes are wide open. O-P-E-N, and consciously aware of my surroundings. Wildly, I'm getting energy. Galaxy, as if I'm solar powered. It seems like every now and then I sit on the edge of study. Letting the wind push and shove my dreads into just an argument. But really, there's a struggling for affection. And he's husband, too. Speaking of love, the Western is civilization is under another tip. To tell you the truth, they need to dip into the fountain of you.
The fountain of you.
Phone call from Eddie Vedder, blow head off with gun.
Okay, my gun. It's you out for the round. Okay, mine says, fake suicide to escape pain of fame. Live in hiding and maybe, just maybe, consider coming back. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, go on, mate. Oh, go on, come back.
Oh, please, please come back.
We're going down.
Somebody interviewed Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Have you ever met the guy?
No, but I rate him highly.
Okay.
One of my heroes.
Well, listen, I've got a clip of that, because this guy knew I was interviewing you, and he asked Stephen Hawking about you. Do you want to hear what he said?
I'd love to, yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let me just work. It's got it on a little dictaphone. Wait for this. Here we go.
Peter Stringfellow is a public menace, and in my view, should be excluded from society.
Are you sure that wasn't Doctor Who?
You mean a Dalek or something?
A Dalek.
Yeah. Well, it's on one of these little dictaphone things.
No, Stephen, I know exactly that's how he has to speak, but I don't care. The man is a wonderful intellect.
He's a great... And you know what he said?
I'd love to sit with a few hours and have a chat with that guy.
Because he's glam, isn't he?
Well, he's a wonderful person. Well, you've got to, his sexuality is his mind. That man,
absolutely.
Got to be, should be a girl and listen to him talk about the universe and his theories on the string theory. By the way, it's just a thing, it's a string theory. You know what? In the
hey, maybe that was his little concession.
The bubble
to you.
Theory?
Yeah, bubble theory. Well, if just well, you're not called Bubble Fellow. You know,
certainly wouldn't be a top club in London.
Absolutely, Bubble Fellows. I mean, weird. But no, I mean, the guy. Let's face it, Hawking. Yeah, I suppose what you're saying is his brain is the center.
You've got to look at this. That man is in the situation he is.
Yeah, he's definitely that, yeah.
He cannot move a thing, and he speaks through
the
machine on his throat. And yet, it wasn't so long ago that he, in the state he's in, got divorced and married his nurse. My God.
He's a kind of like a Meccano stud.
But he's living. He's still doing it. He's not given up. And
absolutely.
I'd love to be in his brain for a couple of days. When I say I'd like to be Stephen Hawking, I'm not being terrible and saying I'd like
Hawking.
With his terrible
Hawking.
Problem.
Yeah.
But have his brain for a couple of days, a couple of weeks.
Have his brain in the club.
Yeah.
And leave him outside.
Well, I don't know if one could do yeah.
It's been an absolutely massive pleasure. Very
my
nice
pleasure,
of you.
And I've enjoyed it too. Okay. Very, very therapeutic is the word.
Excellent.
Hey, Wayne, say hello to my girlfriend, Christine.
Okay, this is for Peter Stringfellow's brand new flesh tube. Christine, has she got the month September written on her head?
No, she's all right. She kept going back to New York and find it very difficult to live with me. I don't know why, because I'm so easy.
Yeah, you're a very easygoing guy. Yeah. We know that on 1FM. And I tell you what, Christine, if you don't know that, then you're a bigger fool than I think you are already just for being a woman. How's that?
Yes.
Walk out to winter. Swear I'll be there. Chill will wake you high and dry. You wonder why. Met the summer and watched the fall. The brush is off his tongue. Fight what they'll say. It wasn't you. We took the truth. Face the summer and felt the wall. There's nothing left where they hung. Sweet and bitter. The
Hi, this is Wakefield. I think Naomi Campbell has a Gravel's Annie disorder.
Find yourself wandering around in the middle of the night. This is life. A sense of time crushed and ruined by the Christmas bash. Pick up a phone. Call the States. Apart from anything else, the dialing tone sounds great.
Airport information.
Oh, hello. Yes. Is that English speaking last night for me?
Yes.
Could I have United Airways?
Do you need reservations or flight information?
Well, both at some point, but whichever is available.
Their reservations number is area code 213.
Pardon me?
Area code 213.
Is this still English?
Yes.
Are most of the planes airborne?
I'm sorry?
Are most of the planes airborne?
Are they airborne?
Yep.
I suppose so.
When the plane is landing, is it actually pointing downwards?
When the plane is landing, I'm sorry? It's pointing down? Is that what you asked?
Yep.
Yes.
Have they eliminated the bouncy floor trouble?
I don't know.
Because last time when the plane landed, and I was thrown forward onto the bouncy floor, and then I flew through the air all the way through to the first class compartment, and I received some severe trouble from a gentleman there whose elbow I'd knocked into his wife.
Mm-hmm. I really don't have any information on that. You can call the FAA.
FAA?
I'm sorry?
Is this in English?
That's for... Yes, it's English.
FAA?
Yes.
Is there an onion limit?
Onion?
Limit. The number of onions I can bring. Is there a limit?
I don't know.
But you do know that the aircraft are airborne?
When they take off, they're airborne.
And when they land, they're on the ground?
And they land on the ground.
They are on the ground once they've landed?
Once they've landed, they'll be on ground.
And when they go up to the terminal and the little jetty goes out? Yes?
Yes.
Are the planes sniffing at the building?
Are they sniffing the building?
Yes.
Nicole? When the planes pull up to the jetway doors, are they sniffing the building? Hello?
Hello. Are you English speaking?
We both are. What can we help you with, sir?
I'm trying to research a flight for a friend of mine who's a nervous passenger.
Okay, you need to go.
He's my father.
Directly.
He's my father. He's lying down.
What airline is he traveling on?
It's United Airlines, and your colleague has been most helpful.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Okay. When the planes arrive at the terminal building, and the little jetties are put out, and the tubes are stuck onto the side, and people are walking off the plane...
Yes.
Are the planes... Are they sniffing the building?
Are they what?
Sniffing the building.
I'm going to hang up now, sir. Please don't call back here.
Hello?
Record number 7.
Got a charity line sending us information at the moment, and the actor Alan Rickman is touring the country right now in a wheelbarrow. He sets himself up in a shopping centre and waits for people to come up to him and say hello, Alan, and pick up the handles and wheel him off somewhere, wherever he asks to go. And on the journey, he will tell them a lot of important facts about the homeless. Do look out for him. Apparently he's been stuck for 2 days in a wood near Grantham. It's Public Enemy.
Give it up, 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 give
Jimmy Crack Corn, crack a free and I don't care, it's on. I'm coming with a rhyme, a black core rhyme. I never get a rhyme through the rough and crazy times. Call me a Hannibal Lecter, yes, I take this. An old piano, so here it go. I'm sick and tired, so fly and take you higher. But I'm taking it down, yeah. So spray you down. Grab a grip and a lyrical, kick your finger licking. But to the rhythm, I'm giving, but never cotton picking. Like James Brown, I'm singing it loud. Am I loud enough, sir? You got to give it up.
Stay tuned for John Gummer. Single that, Give It Up, from Public Enemy. And you may recall earlier in the year there was a strike on the BBC, quite a big one. News operations were primarily affected. So I thought I'd call Tory Central Office and say, hey look, is there anyone who can say something for tomorrow's news? And amazingly they said, yes. Yeah, we know someone who can say something that will be relevant for the news in 24 hours' time. And they gave me John Gummer's phone number.
Hello?
Hello, is that Mr. Gummer?
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware of the situation, but basically there may be industrial action tomorrow which threatens to undermine the news bulletins, obviously.
Yes.
And in order to supermount the trouble, we're trying to record as much of the news as possible today.
Of course, I understand.
So if there's anything you want to say which you feel will be extant in 24 hours...
Well, I think the thing that will be extant is the major issue about vetoing.
Right, well, can we record a statement on that now for tomorrow's news?
Yeah.
Okay.
Over and over again, Britain needs to have her veto, because everybody then knows that when things of great national importance comes up, she's not pushed to the brink. That's why the veto's vital.
Now, if it's going to go high in the bulletin, it will probably benefit from a swipe at one of the opposition parties.
Right. The British people must be appalled that the Liberal Democrats are so split over the veto. It's quite clear that the major spokesmen, like Sir David Steele, want to get rid of Britain's veto. We can't have that. I think the Liberals are selling Britain down the river.
Would you like to perhaps put out something about the Labour Party? You've mentioned the Liberals there. Something about the Labour, if you could sort of give them a bit of a wigging.
Right.
Yeah.
Labour has signed up with the European Socialist Manifesto. So they've joined the Liberals on saying that Britain can be members of the European community without any veto over the matters that really matter.
Right, now let's just look at the possibility that during the course of the day Labour have reversed their attitude on the veto. What do you say then?
Well, if Labour's now pretending it wants to keep the veto, that's the seventh change on Europe that it's had in almost as many years. Now, if it says it wants to keep the British veto, then how can it go on being part of the Socialist Union of Parties? It doesn't stand up. This Labour Party will say anything to get a vote.
John Gummer. Okay. You know this one. All together now.
Once there was this kid who sang in such a stupid voice, which he thought very cool. It didn't have the sense to realize it sounded just like he was forcing a stool.
The chill got to fill up my back. Dreamy filled with satisfaction when we're done. Satisfaction of what's to come. No walls, only the bridge. My cup of this, my success wish.
Sing it, baby.
I couldn't ask for another. No, I couldn't ask for another. Oh,
Here from Gavin Cash of St. Neots in Cambridgeshire, who says, "Dear Chris, I know you don't usually do requests, but I feel that this story will make you do it. I'm a musician, though more than 70% of my income comes from the guitar shop I run in the arcade. I play the keyboards. We sell them. My main public performance outlet is through the two-piece dance combo I comprise with my business partner, Andy Everett. Gigging extensively up to four nights a week throughout East Anglia, we are known as LoveNet. About a year ago, I was enjoying a quiet morning in the shop working out a variation on Huey Lewis' Happy to be Stuck with You with bossa nova setting and tremolo when I noticed the slender stockinged legs of a quiet-looking girl with glasses but sexy like the effect that glasses can have on Kim Basinger's face when they make her look sexy underneath in some films. Our shop is in the basement, which is why I saw her legs. To be honest, it was not the first time I had seen her, but it had never struck me before how pretty she was, but now it did, and my left hand kept laying the walking bass down again and again, while my jaw dropped open because I was suddenly really into her look. I'm actually quite shy, but I had to get her attention. I turned the volume up and hit the bass riff with both hands. She slowed down and actually stopped. The thudding was incredibly loud, but sexy like the relaxed riff. I was jumping up and down with the effort, while Andy appeared in the doorway with a puzzled face. But suddenly, it was another face I was looking at. Hers, looking through our pavement window. She was smiling. She raised her finger to her lips and went shh, and laughed, and walked across to a bit where I couldn't see. I knew I had to meet her, but I didn't know quite what I would do. I was sure my best chance of a pull would be on stage, because some girls had said that I reminded them of Jeff Lynne. I went through a month of expecting her to be at every gig, until I got so used to it I thought she wouldn't come, but she did as soon as I thought she wouldn't on the next gig. It was a 500-head Christmas bash with a laser light show, and we were top of the bill. We'd been playing for half an hour when I saw her on the floor. She had some real nice twists in her body. I nodded to Andy and we hit the plan, which was to pull out of Matthew Wilder's Break My Stride, and then Andy shouted, "Hey girls, you like a man with a moustache?" I keyed in a sound effect of a huge crowd roar and slowly nodded. I could feel my huge moustache nodding with the rest of my head. Then I slammed into my thunder bass riff. The volume was bloody loud, and I felt like I was growing bigger with each beat. The bass drum was cracking the speakers, and slowly everybody in the hall stopped, and soon they were all staring at me, because I was starting to sing. "This is our song," I roared. I set the keyboard on repeat and started chanting the word love, very loud and very fast. I jumped off the stage and stomped rhythmically towards her, increasing my voice volume. Suddenly, I was surrounded by faces, but the only sound I could hear was my own love song, which I changed to a throaty growl as I now rolled along the floor. "I am a love worm, I am a love worm," I repeated and writhed around until I was right at her feet. I slowly looked up, and her lovely eyes were laughing along with the rest of her face, and she clapped. She kept saying, "You're a very funny little man." The keyboard stopped. "But I really do love you," I said, with the mic on, standing up and looking at her because she was taller than me. "It's just that I can't say it very easily." She suddenly looked very different, serious but gentle, with a small smile. This was the best look I'd ever had from a woman. I wanted it to last like a sustained chord. She opened her mouth to speak, but as soon as she had said the word "I," she was pierced by a spear of frozen liquid waste from an aeroplane toilet facility that plunged through the roof into her head. The expression of polite horror on her face as it fell past mine, plus the sound of air whistling out the top of her head, made me feel really crap. "But Chris, you would remind me of that month of happy longing if you would play Derek Jameson's Christmas record, Yes, Virginia. It's the only record I listen to now, and it cheers me up because of its happy message. Yours, Gavin Cash." Gavin, it's a pleasure.
How sad the world would be if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as sad as if there were no little girls. There would be no childlike faith, no poetry, no beauty to make bearable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in what we feel and see. The eternal light with which children fill the world would be put out. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in angels. Did
Gavin,
you ever see fairies?
Thanks for your letter, Gavin. I'm sorry we haven't got time to play more of that, but it is the last show in the series, but I'm delighted to have at last been able to fit in a request. And Gavin says, "P.S. I wasn't invited to the funeral, but I hid in the trees in the churchyard and pretended to myself I had been her husband. I did this by shutting my eyes and wanking." No more requests today, but this is good. This is Beck with Fear Cat. Better than lose at this.
I can hold all my hands, I got plans to dish myself and get outside. There's some women throwing plates, decapitating their laughing gates, swirling chickens, cotton flakes, out of focus, much too bright coming down. Shining teeth, game show suckers trotting the breeze, but I got a drug and I got the book and I got something better than love. How you like me now? Pretty good, going on, feeling strong. I quit my job, blowing leaves. Telephone bills up my sleeves. Choking like a one-man touch ball. Freedom rock, slime ball, talking and cold went down. Lit up the shack, grab me a beer out of the sack. Everybody done over twice. Paint the walls, throwing some dice. Leaping up into the air, getting juiced up beyond belief. And they were thinking like this. Why don't call it perfect at the song? Put myself between the bones. Now I'm running out drunk. Now I'm running like a flaming pig. Oh yeah. Sipping off the attitude. Old man eating all my food. Don't be kind, don't be rude. Just shake your boots and let it all get loose. Oh yeah, my goodness.
I'm sad and unhappy, but not happy, Dad.
Why don't throw in frisbees at the sun? Put myself between the bone. Now I'm running, I'm drunk. Now I'm running like a flaming pig. Sipping off the attitude. Old man eating all my food. Don't be kind, don't be rude. Just shake your boots and let it all get loose.
Oh yeah.
shouting at people.
That's Beck Beercamp from the LP Mellow Gold. And stay tuned, about 4 minutes' time, Peter Hamill interviews Martin Lewis.
The 100 greatest songs on Radio 1 FM.
Stop shouting at people.
Controversy as the Moody Blues towering classic peaks at number 49. Justin Hayward's
Nights in White Satin. Never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, and I love you. Yes, I love
himself in a dentist's aquarium.
By the way, Martin Lewis next. Just heard from Paul Garner. He's standing freezing cold in Cambridge at the railway station, waiting for a taxi to turn up so he can bother it. That in about half an hour.
In certain circumstances, it may be necessary and sensible to administer a smack to your child.
This is New Order.
Maybe I've forgotten.
Stop being poor.
Tommy Vance, on a tricycle, waves at his mother and crashes into a tree.
Stop being poor. Living as an unfortunate-looking destitute does you no good at all.
I think within reason, a limited amount of smack is not something I get hysterical about.
New Order, Regret. And here is today's sod of the day.
Martin Lewis, interviewed by Peter Hamill. I'm Peter Hamill. Martin Lewis, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, Lewis is a name we associate with news quite a lot, isn't it? One thinks instinctively of Tony Lewis, the sportsman. Gavin Nestor's mother's maiden name was Lewis. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. and none of us are related.
Well, it's a strong newsy name. Of course, in America, there's Huey and his lot. but what about news? How does it help us?
How does news help us? I think it presents us with events and stories which help to make us more rounded, fuller people.
How can we be sure that we haven't just watched a news bulletin which contained, say, a 290-degree news rather than a 360-degree one?
Well, I think you have to accept that what we decide to do is that we pick the top 12, 13, 14 stories of the day.
So it's very much like a sort of album chart.
How do you mean?
In that you have a prioritisation system.
Yes, of course we do. I mean, I think people do in most walks of life. I don't see anything unusual about having that in the news.
I suppose what you're saying is that the tape is always the same size.
The tape is always the same size.
It's not going to vary, is it?
In terms of the length, you're right. I mean,
the length of tape is the same size.
2.5 minutes, yes.
And obviously on a story about transport policy, you wouldn't go so far as to examine what a road was.
Well, if a story is complex, then it helps to provide all the explanation you would need, as though someone was picking it up for the first time, because for one reason or another, they haven't been listening for the previous 4 or 5 days.
And this is the sort of thing that Newsnight perhaps would do that the main bulletins wouldn't.
Oh, no, the main bulletins would as well.
What a road was.
We would explain what a road was.
Now, this is a book aimed at showing young people what to do. Particularly impressed here with the cross-referencing in the book. Mm. Who thought of that?
Well, that was my idea, because it's the young person's Bible. And, of course, I realised that if you knew the name of the organisation you were going for, well, then, of course, you just look it up, and the book is compiled in alphabetical order.
Now, why alphabetical? Most people,
well, I mean, alphabetical, because, you know, I mean, we're all used to working with dictionaries and thesauruses and even telephone directories, and alphabetical order is, you know, a perfectly natural way of doing things.
I suppose we take it for granted, but is it?
Oh, yes, I think so, except, and this is why I put in the different categories that you're talking about, except when you don't know the name of the organisations offering the opportunity that you as a young person might want. Hence the cross-referencing, a special category section, so it's very easy and quick for you to get to those opportunities.
And nail them down in a kill.
Sure.
Now, could you just take us through the cross-referencing system and how exactly it works?
All right, well, let's take a general area of interest.
Photography.
Photography. You would probably home in on... Let me just have a look. Yeah. It could be sport and leisure. Well, let me just test it. Okay, well, first of all, you would...
Under F.
It may not be an actual photographic organisation. Right, so there's no actual photographic organisation.
Is this cross-referencing now?
Yes, this is the cross-referencing now.
Yep.
It's not under there. It's under...
Something else.
Further educational training and vocational training. I would suspect that if people were looking for a career in photography, that there would be something there. Film and TV, The
no.
Way In.
No.
197.
This is cross-referencing now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Brilliant.
I mean, this is the whole point.
It doesn't work.
500 organisations represented here. And
it doesn't work.
Some of them are quite wide in their embrace, in their remit.
And the great thing, actually, is that while you're using the cross-referencing system, you can skim through and find out about things that you didn't actually know about. Kibbutz Volunteer,
right.
Ockenden Venture, I see here. Ryder Foundation.
Sure.
That might be quite fun for young people, I suppose.
Yeah. Sure.
Next piece of music.
Thanks very much indeed to our spot of the day, Martin Lewis. Up next, the feedback report. It's a family affair.
Child grows up to be
Somebody that just loves to learn. And another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and bound. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
Family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
Each other out. Yeah. Nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down. But you're crying anyway cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair.
Any luck trying to peer through the speaker of people's radios?
No, I've been shining this little torch to it ever. Can't see anything.
Well, a lot of people actually phoned up saying they got Christmas presents which embarrassingly still had the price tag on it. So you see those calls coming in there?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go through to the next studio, okay? You can use the whole bank of phones in there and collect all the prices together and then work out an average for us.
Okay.
Okay, so go through Studio 3 and you can take any of the incoming calls. Come back in about 10, 15 minutes, something like that. Okay, here's today's second feedback report.
We're looking today at spherical cattle, making them round. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that.
How would a spherical cow get around the pen?
Well, I think you'd have to put some sort of netting around it to guide it.
Well, so it could just get a grip on the net?
That's right. You couldn't leave it in the field or anywhere.
Well, imagine if it was in a pen and the water was at the other end of the pen and it was thirsty.
How would it manage?
Well, can they smell it?
Well, I suppose they'll have a nose on the circumference.
Well, yes, is it? They've got to have some sort of a smell of it.
Let's assume they have.
They roll to it.
They'd roll towards it.
Yeah.
How would they actually manage to make themselves roll?
Muscles. Their own muscle strength inside.
Would it be better off with a leg?
Well, I should think so. They could walk along just like a chicken.
And if the legs were opposite sides, I mean, they would have to go around like a sort of a broken mine.
Well, it can go as a ball. If you had a ball and you put two legs to it, one either side of the ball.
Right, but if they were sticking out at the side, they'd be like sort of long, thin ears or something, and they would just bounce off the wall.
Then you're getting like something from outer space.
If you gave it two legs, would you have them side by side, or would you have them on opposite ends of the ball?
Side by side.
How far apart?
2 or 3 foot.
And what about if it was a milk cow?
The milk cow? Perhaps they might do a square one.
And if you saw a spherical cow and you had a gun about you, would you shoot it?
Yeah.
Why are there so many people on the back benches who are so unhappy?
This is Bruno Brooks. I've been taking drugs in the middle of the night.
Could be the best single of the year, this. The Auteurs. Danny Valentino.
There were mornings on the street, the earth was supersized. The mornings looking down from the dawn, no assassins on the corner, trying to follow a line. Your dirty mouth coming with trouble, and that's a lie. Valentino aside. Valentino aside. Valentino aside. Renounced to as the real one. kids have been tired of your blah, blah, blah. Some big kids say there's no other.
Don't forget, Paul Garner in less than an hour will be invading a taxi. What he is he's dressed up as a kind of geekish Buddy Holly. We've also covered him in TCP for extra added nerdish effect. And Peter Bainham is next door checking out your average prices and price tags left on presents.
Chris,
I'm talking, don't come into the studio when I'm talking.
Chris,
the red light's on.
Chris!
What?
Chris, there is a body in there.
What the hell are you talking about?
There is a body in Studio 3.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, I'm not bloody joking.
A body?
There's a body in Studio 3.
Who is it?
I think it's Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker's dead in Studio 3. Do you know what that shows?
What?
That shows if you're a DJ that still plays vinyl, you shouldn't share needles. It just killed Johnny Walker.
Chris, okay, I'm not bloody joking. There is Johnny Walker
in there. What do you think he died of? You think he took so many poppers his head fell out of his arse?
Chris, I don't care. Look at me.
Is that puke?
Yes, it's puke.
God, are you serious? Come on.
Yes,
come on. Fade up Studio 3. Fade up Studio 3. Can you fade it up when we go through?
Jeez.
What's that? Hang on, turn that tape on.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Get those flies away from his head. I'll see if I can identify. It is Johnny Walker. Look.
Yes.
He's lying on the floor like an old sock.
Johnny!
He's
Johnny, dead. Wake up!
He's dead.
Johnny! Johnny! Johnny!
Peter, stop snapping his face, he's dead! You'll snap it off! You'll snap his face off! He's dead! Peter! Peter! God, what do you do to his face? You sick! Just cover his head up.
What?
Put this record sleeve on his head. Cover his head up, he's dead!
Oh!
Now, I'm going to phone security. You sit on his head. I don't want him sitting up like some stiffs do. I'm going to phone security. Sit on his head.
Yes,
okay.
Hello, can we have Johnny Walker's body removed from Studio 3 as quickly as possible, please?
I beg your pardon?
Yes, Johnny Walker's body removed from Studio 3 as quickly as possible, please.
Sorry, Johnny Walker's...
body. Is there anything we should do now?
I don't understand. Can you explain the situation?
Yeah, my name is... and I'd like you to remove Johnny Walker's body from Studio 3 as quickly as possible, please. I'd appreciate your full speed.
Johnny Walker's body from Studio 2?
As quickly as possible, please.
Yeah, what? I mean, is the guy dead or what?
Of course he's dead.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I don't understand what's going on.
Listen, he's dead. Can you remove his body? Can you be as quick as possible, please? Just say yes.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with somebody right away.
Thank you.
What did he say?
He said that we have to take the body through to our studio.
What?
He said that you've got to drag the body through to our studio.
What?
That's what he said.
Talking about?
So, Peter, listen, just drag the body through to the studio.
No!
Look, you're in shock. Just do what you're told.
Chris!
Peter, a man's died. There are rules to follow. Now, drag him
Chris,
through.
Chris, I don't care.
Peter,
I'm not
please,
taking money.
Peter, please drag dead Johnny Walker through to our studio.
Oh!
Just grab hold of his boot. Mind the spur. Disentangle his head from the tape machine.
Oh.
And just pull him through. Don't dribble on him. Thanks, Peter. That's great. That's great.
It's not bad.
That's great. He's got his head stuck in the door. Okay, hang on. Shit. This was Johnny Walker's favourite piece of music. Every day he'd turn up to work, this was blasting from the speakers of his moped. I'm not your daddy. Bring his body in.
Yeah.
You got rid of the flies?
Yeah.
Okay, just put it down. Put it down in the chair here.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Did you hear that?
Oh, nice.
Did you hear that when you dropped him in the chair? Some air came out of his lung and went through his throat. You were saying, right, that he should be allowed to say goodbye to his fans.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a shame, but he can't, can he, really? I mean,
well, actually, he can.
What are you talking about?
When I spoke to the security guard, he said that we had to punch a couple of holes in the back of his neck.
What for?
We've got to do that for the corpse.
What do you mean do that? What's it for?
It's procedure. So really? when you do that, you can actually make him talk.
How?
All you need for him to talk, right, is air going across his vocal cords. Think about it.
Yeah, but he's dead, I mean...
Yeah, punch the holes in the back of his neck.
What, with this?
Yeah. Go on. Just work it. Go on.
Come here.
Oh, that's right. No. That's it.
Yeah.
Just push it through.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Now, all you have to do is blow through the neck.
No!
And I'll move the mouth.
What?
Blow through the neck and I'll move the mouth.
This is disgusting.
Just do it, Peter. You wanted to say goodbye. It's your idea now. Do it.
Do you think this,
just
this is right?
Just do it.
It's the best thing.
It is the right thing to do. I'm telling you.
Okay.
So I'll move the mouth. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alright.
Now do that again. Just give a bit more breath. Brilliant.
That was amazing. You said goodbye.
Yay.
Can we do it again?
Yeah.
Go on.
Blow that. Nice
that
one.
Is absolutely fantastic.
Hey, look, God, put that in his mouth.
Okay. Oh my God! Wait a minute. Sit him on this. Wait a minute. No, this thing.
Yeah,
here,
okay.
Right,
sit him on that.
Right, put that.
Okay, let's ask him. Let's ask him. Johnny, hold his head and wag it when I give you the thumbs
up. Okay.
Do you want to sit on that? Okay. Now sit him on it.
What? One minute.
Oh, brilliant. Do that again. Johnny! Oh, wow. Hey! No, Peter, hang on. Enough. I'll tell you what.
What?
Why don't you scope on this?
What? I'm the first
screaming my name through the astral plane. Takes me down to the flattery spines, down to the telephone wires. I'm just shaking around on the underground, like a future with a ride. And like all the boys in all the cities, I take the poison, take the pity. She and I soon discover we take the pill.
Leave him alone, Peter. Stop it. Really.
know what the standard policy is if you find a DJ dead in the BBC?
What's that?
You have to get them stuffed.
What?
You have to get them stuffed.
No, you don't.
Yeah, go next door and find the number of a taxidermist.
A taxidermist isn't going to stuff Johnny Walker. It's only to get lost.
Not a French one, Mike. I was on holiday in France and they stuffed duckling.
Oh, yes, that thing you brought.
Stuffed duckling I brought in, exactly.
Yeah.
Get a French taxidermist.
Okay.
You do that?
Yeah, I'll do it.
And leave him on your way out.
Sorry. And I'm losing
myself. OK, so while Peter's digging out that number, let me tell you about the 1FM sound advisors. This was the year when 1FM decided to determine its programming policy on the basis of what a group of randomly chosen members of you, the public, told us. So these people were the so-called 1FM sound advisors. And what did they want? Well, the results came in like this. One person wanted something from the 60s, like the Beatles. Second advisor wanted something rather strangely from the 50s, Louis Prima. Listen, number three wanted some rap. Number four wanted some techno. More orthodox pop choice from number five. Sophisto pop for listener number six, Prefab Sprout. And sun advisor number seven wanted something from Midge Ure. So the combined advice of the 1FM sound advisors is this.
Keep busting.
Great, you got one now. Peter Bain has found a French taxiderm. Let's put him on the line. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll get ready.
Hello, bonjour.
Ah, bonjour, madame.
C'est plutôt un monsieur.
Ah, je m'excuse. I caused you a lean, mauvais. Mais, monsieur,
oui?
Vous êtes taxidermiste, oui?
Oui, je ne sais plus.
Eh bien.
C'est pas grave.
pourquoi? J'ai un petit problème.
Oui?
On fait le taxidermie pour les mamelles.
Attendez, j'ai un petit problème. Mamelles, j'arrive pas à savoir comment l'exprimer.
Mamelles.
Animal.
Oui.
Animal.
Il est comme un grand singe.
Ah.
Oui.
Quelle race?
Il est un race de singe qui s'appelle le disc jockey.
Oui.
Vous connaissez?
Voilà, c'est un peu plus petit que nous.
Le disc jockey, c'est pas plus petit que nous.
Oui.
Très comme vous et moi. Le disc jockey.
Oui.
S'appelle Johnny Walker.
Oui, ça c'est son nom.
Son nom, oui.
Voilà.
Nous avons besoin de Louis Stafford pour une exhibition de radio.
Ah.
Vous pouvez faire le taxidermy sur le disc jockey.
Oui, oui.
Quel prix vous demandez?
Là, c'est dur. Faut que je regarde le tarif. C'est dur, dur.
Entre 10 000 à 30 000, oui.
Oh, ben, peut-être pas 30 000, non.
30 000, non. C'est trop, oui.
Je pense, oui.
Et vous pouvez le faire demain?
Beaucoup, il vous le faut pour quand?
Oui, monsieur, je vais vous expliquer.
Oui.
Je suis un homme qui s'appelle Matthew Bannister.
Yes.
Oui. Je suis contrôleur pour le BBC.
Yes.
Et cet homme... homme et un disc jockey, et demain, je peux arriver à votre maison avec le corps de Johnny Walker.
D'accord.
Oui. Vous pouvez lui stuffer avec ses vêtements.
Oui.
Et le prix est moins que 30 000 francs.
D'accord.
D'accord, monsieur.
Allez, bonne journée.
Au revoir.
So, Peter, can you cancel the funeral?
Yeah.
Because there was going to be a funeral, you know? Johnny was going to be strapped to a moped and had driven at high speed into a grave, whilst 100 marching Colombians filed past in single file and showered him with talcum powder. Don't need that now.
Guess what? Summer's arrived.
Johnny.
I feel the world on my side. The Brooklyn Bridge stretches below me. A billion souls all dying to know. Loaded with promise and knee deep in grace. What I love.
what is here on my face now. I feel like I own the whole day.
Paul Garmer is cold but determined in Cambridge. Some taxes have turned up. He's going to bother them in about 15 minutes. And I want to play two Tannoy announcements, which we got read out at Heathrow, I think, before Paul got caught. The idea is here that we invent some ludicrous names. He goes up to the desk and says, "Can you read out these names, please?" And they have a phonetic idiocy about them, which is not detected by the announcers. Until that is the day he got caught. But these two got through. They went up and asked for, first of all, these two names, which came out as
Oneida Bisoquick and Malexa Coast. Please contact the airport information desk. Oneida Bisoquick and Malexa Coast.
Okay, and then 2 minutes later, the same unfortunate was given another pair of names to read out, which went
Dafil Shebeta and Nawa Nidashit. Please contact the airport information desk.
Won't happen again until we actually go and nobble an airport abroad, I think. I'm just going to find the medley as well, yeah, because that guy, having done that beautifully, oh, that feels better, and now I need a sheet, went on the Tannoy again and just did a medley of random, stupid, vulgar, childish names. Came out like this.
Your attention, please. With the following persons, please contact the airport information desk.
Here he goes.
Would Owu Tafi Sebeta. Owu Tafi Sebeta.
Oh, yeah?
Owu Tafi Sebeta. Would Nawa Nidash Zit. Nawa Nidash Zit.
I spell it.
And Owu Tafi Sebeta. Please contact the airport information desk. Owu Tafi Sebeta. And now what need I sit?
What's up?
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks, and I'm just playing bloody stupid.
So still to come, one more special interview from Wayne Carr. And Paul Garner in Cambridge bothers a taxi.
Hi, this is Petula Clark, and I love to go down on young girls.
To the left, to the right. Step it up, it's all right.
Peer through the speakers on people's radios and have a look at them. Any luck yet?
No.
Why don't you take a run up then?
All right.
Take a run up and tell yourself through the speaker. Then you'll get a really good look.
Okay?
Okay. Oh.
Hi, this is Max
Thanks, Clifton.
I'm in your dumb house. Head to head, climbing off the dome. And we've reached our outer limits. Bring the boogie to the dome.
Okay, just ahead at, ahead of a glance back at the news year 94.
Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice.
And in April, the BBC launched its rolling news service, Five Live, but came under fire for the shocking quality of its presenters. BBC recruitment officers blamed money.
If you want a total professional, it's going to do it's about £20,000. But then again, if you approach some crack addict on the street, you can get someone for £500.
June and soon-to-be-sacked Education Secretary John Paton announces his intention to tour the country's primary schools stark naked in a bid to help children understand and sex. At each school, he will undress and then stand bare in front of the children for an hour. They will be asked to make up their own minds about sex while they stare in silence at the nude man. Mr. Paton said, "I hope this calm approach will show them that sex is a very serious thing indeed." By contrast, 94 was an excellent year for Labour, with the exception of one man. By December, the party was forced to admit that being tossed from the limelight into the political ditch had taken its toll on Robin Cook.
He's having to attend a psychiatric day centre every day and is now behaving more like an 8-year-old and having to be accompanied by an adult everywhere he goes. This is an extremely serious case.
Still to come, Wayne Carr's encounter with Super Poppers 2 Unlimited.
You revolt me, you revolt me.
Spend $40,000 on a line. Get used to you, Miss Kathleen. First was Kevin, then came Lucy. Third in line was me. All of us were ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood at the back of the line, smiled beneath her nose. Favorite number was 20. Every single day, if you ask what you had for breakfast, this is what she say. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and tangerine, beside all the ham. If you spent your mind every day, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Honey, I wore the prettiest dress with different color socks. Sometimes I wonder if you know what in her lunchbox. Me and Lucy opened this with Cynthia one around. Lucy cried, almost died. You know what we found. Maple syrup and jam. Butterscotch clouds, tangerine, and a side on a ham. If you set your mind free on it, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Just back to one seat drop on every wall, every school. But it's alright, whole worthy cause. Gonsman, they keep saying starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds, tangerine, beside all the ham. If you set your mind free, then maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee,
okay, so the final two songs of the day. This is 2 Unlimited, as interviewed by Wayne Carr.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Wake up. 2 Unlimited, welcome.
How do you do it?
That's Ray Slinge?
Yes, Slay Hard.
Okay, I'll call you Mudguard. And Anita what?
Dels,
okay. If I forget, I'll call you Del Boy. All right. Now, who's doing Top of the Pops with you tonight?
We got E17 here.
And who's the presenter?
Presenter?
Yeah.
Actually, we don't.
Brooks.
Oh.
Bruno Brooks.
Okay. Say hi to Bruno from me.
We will.
Okay, tell him to stop taking those drugs in the middle of the night.
Oh, God. Okay, I will.
Okay, say hi from Wayne Carr.
Okay.
You got the name?
Wayne Carr?
Okay. Now, let's look at your work. First of all, as artists,
people have written in the press here that when a pop star sings 12 no's in a row, isn't that a bit negative?
I don't think it's negative, you know, because
it is the word,
the song to number one, you know,
to
number one. So I don't think there's anything negative about it.
Except that the word no occurs 12 times.
Yeah, but people liked it.
Maybe they're impressionable, and maybe if you are saying the word no into somebody's head 12 times in a row, it could have a bad effect.
Well, we have to just have to see, you know.
Well, you're maybe protected. You're protected.
You know, the effect
you are
time, you know.
Protected. But let's look at something else, right? When you say the line, no valley too deep.
Yeah.
Do you really mean that?
Of course I do.
Were you including
no
in that?
No valley too deep and no mountain too high.
Even if it was an underwater valley?
Yeah, even if it was an underwater valley.
So when you say no limits, does that mean that, like, you really think there should be no limits?
No, I don't. Well, we ain't got no limits.
Is there anything at all you think there should be a limit on?
I like gangster rap, yeah.
And do you think there should be any limits on that?
No, because people shouldn't take it too serious, you know what I mean?
But if Snoop Dogg,
yeah,
like, pulls out a piece on somebody,
yeah,
then should he be limited?
No.
You're saying that
it's
okay?
Video clip, man, it's, you know, if it's in a video.
If it's in a video, but you know, I mean, like, if you videoed the real thing, it would be in a video, but it would be real as well. And that's where the tragedy of modern life lies.
I understand your point as well. But on the other side, I think that people, I mean, these things happen in the States, you know.
In the States. It should be limited then.
I think you should just...
You know, I'm after an answer here.
Yeah, I know, but make guns from plastic with plastic bullets in it. So it
right.
still hurts, but it doesn't kill.
So it would be like Ice-T would be Cop Bruiser.
Yeah.
You sang there, Reach for the Sky. Any thoughts about Battle of Britain fighter pilots? What was that about? Was that just a general empathy with Douglas Bader trying to fly with no legs or what? It's part of British history.
Oh, okay.
So, what do you make of Douglas Bader? He was the guy who was shot down by Germans. He lost his legs, he learned to walk again, and flew too.
Right, then he must be a hero, right?
Right, and Reach for the Sky, a nice mantle to hang around his neck.
Oh, okay.
Would you care to sing that for him, just to Reach for the Sky?
Just to Reach for the Sky?
Uh-huh.
What, now?
Yeah, and then just sing for Douglas Bader at the end.
Right. We'll reach for the sky, Douglas.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for joining us. Good luck on the Top of the Pop show.
Yes.
Are you doing MTV Live Unplugged?
No, we want to go live, actually, but we're still trying to get a band together.
I'd love to see you live on MTV Unplugged.
Yeah.
I think
you just come to our live show one day, and
you have room in the crowd for somebody who's got a wheelchair.
You can come backstage, man.
Okay, and you'd be able to fit me in with my wheelchair.
Yeah,
probably,
course.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay, what if I wanted to dance?
If you want to dance.
Would you hold me up with balloons?
Yeah.
Watch out in Manchester tomorrow. If you're lucky, you'll bump into Emma Thompson, Helena Bonham Carter, or Zoe Wanamaker, who are all whoring themselves for charity. It's £100 a shot, and all proceeds go to Rwanda. And for the opening of the Harrods sale tomorrow, as a huge crowd is expected, the sale's going to be opened by Liz Hurley, who will first of all ride high over the crowds in a cherry picker and give them all a golden shower.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hug. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up for later as I hit the dope. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light. Looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she could do it all night. Called up the homies that I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking brothers every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day. Left my homie's house paid. Picked up a girl, been trying to dig since the 12th grade. It's
ironic. I had the boot, she had the chronic. The Lakers beat the super fine. Felt on the big fat fanny. Pulled out the jammy and killed the food man. And my Jimmy runs deep, so deep, so deep. Put her butt to sleep. Woke her up around one. She didn't hesitate to call Ice Cube and Top Gun. Drove her to the pad and I'm coasting. Took another sip of the potion. Hit the three-wheel motion. I was glad everything had worked out. Dropped her burnt off and been chirped out. Today was like one of those fine dreams. Didn't even see a berry flashing those high beams. No helicopter looking for the murder. 2 in the morning, got the fat burger. Even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp. And it ran Ice Cube's a pinch. Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my pager still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day. And I'm doing very okay. Now I got a fax, a laptop, computer. I'm basically a 9-to-5 commuter. When I see a motherfucking cop, I say, hey you, which summer school you sending your kids to? Should they stay in a tent or a hut, yo? If you get an idea, leave a message with my butler.
So
Paul Garner is, excuse me. Paul Garner is knocking around outside Cambridge Railway Station, dressed up as a nerd, covered in TCP. He's on the line now. Paul.
Hold up. Yeah, hello, Chris.
You are wearing trainers?
I'm wearing trainers, I'm wearing an anorak, and I'm wearing Buddy Holly glasses.
And you stink of TCP.
I've rubbed it all over my body.
Excellent, and you've got a good first aid bag there full of rubbish?
Yeah.
How far are you from the taxis?
10 yards.
Okay, approach the taxi.
Okay.
Remember, I'm your dad.
I'm doing it now.
This is the first taxi journey you've ever been on.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I'm looking at the taxi, I'm about 2 yards in front of it.
Make a nice friendly face to him.
Yeah, okay. I'm doing it.
And get in the cab, say you want to go somewhere in Cambridge.
Okay, here we go. I'm getting in it now. Do you mind if I get in the front, please? Oh, shit. He's letting me in the front. He's having to move stuff off the seat.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for that. I prefer the front.
You do it in the London type,
yeah? Yes.
Do a lot of crazy laughing and stuff.
Oh, this is my first time I've been in a taxi on my own without my dad.
If he ever asks you what the hell you're doing on the phone, you just explain to him that I'm your dad.
We're just leaving the station.
And say, tell him to stop now, tell him to stop.
If you mind stopping just for a second.
You just got to check the indicators.
Do you mind just checking the indicators for me?
They're not.
Can you just check them for me, because I'm nervous. Just do the left-hand one again. Yeah, they're both working fine.
No, you've got to get out of the car.
Do you mind if I just get out of the car and check them for me?
Well, you are. What a cab you
know,
mate.
No, I do want a cab, but I just want to check the indicators.
Well, get out there and look at it.
And tell him to shout left and right.
Okay, I'm just going to get out now and look. I don't like this. Should he do the left, please?
When he does the left, tell him that's on the right.
That's on the right, mate. You want to do the left hand first.
It's on the left.
Pardon?
It's on the left, isn't it? It's on. The left hand indicator's on.
Is it?
No, it's the right.
No, that's the right indicator.
You can't even see from where you are.
What's that?
You can't see. You've got to go in the front to see if they're on.
I've got to go in the front. I don't like the front of the car. You're totally
Okay, and as you get back into the car, ask him when he last had new tyres.
That's brilliant. When did you last have new tyres, mate?
None of your business, is it?
Pardon?
None of your business.
Wind down your window and adjust your wing mirror so you can see what's behind you.
Okay. I don't like these. How do I wind the window down, mate? Can he do it for me? Oh. He's done a window for me.
Okay, now adjust the wing mirror so you can see.
I've got to just adjust the wing mirror, is that all right?
Touching it like that, you won't.
Can I adjust the wing
mirror?
No. Why not?
Because that's adjusted for me.
Can I see? I've got one. I need to see behind me.
You don't, mate. I'm driving it. I'm the one that needs to.
I know you're driving, but
I'm driving it and they're staying as they are.
Ask him if he's ever had an accident.
Have you ever had an accident? Have you ever had an accident in this car?
Why?
Because I'm a little bit worried.
If you're worried, get out.
You're allowed to be worried because it's about your body.
Well, it's my body. I'm a little bit worried.
Has he had an accident?
you not had an accident then? Yeah? He's not saying nothing to me now.
Tell him that your father's worried about you, and that this is your first taxi journey, and you just want to make sure that you're not going to get damaged.
Oh, no, he's nice. It's just that my dad's worried on the phone about me, because it's my first taxi journey on my own. Do you understand?
Well, you tell me where you
want to
go, and that's it.
I don't need to make conversation. He doesn't need to make conversation, he said, because that's the end of it.
Well, tell him to stop the car again.
Do you mind just stopping for a second? I'm sorry, sorry to be awkward. Do you mind just stopping here? He's been very kind, he's pulled over for
me. Okay, you just want to check and see if there are any signs of accidents on the car.
Do you mind if I just check the car, see if there's any accidents?
Bollocks.
He said bollocks, and he's now pulled off really quickly.
Ask him if he's done anything of which he's ashamed as a driver.
He's not done anything in the taxi that's you're ashamed of. Have you, Mr. Driver? Hello?
Just keep quiet until you get where you
want to
go, and that's it.
Keep quiet?
You're just nervous, that's all.
I'm sorry, I
don't have to listen to all this. I don't want this verbal earache, okay?
Verbal earache?
I'm sorry.
Okay, start tapping the dashboard.
He's taking me to the roundabout.
And when you get to the roundabout, Paul, get him to go around it again, because you didn't like the way he went on to it. Go around it again. I'm worried about the way you went on. I didn't like the way you went.
I know, he's going too. A little bit fast.
A bit fast?
A bit fast.
Yeah, tell him to slow down a bit.
You can just slow down a little bit, mate, for me. You wouldn't just go around it once more.
No.
Pardon?
No.
I didn't like the way you went on to it.
It's the way you went on to it that's a little bit worried me. Is that right to go around once more?
This is where you want to go and you're here now.
He's stopping it. Yeah. He's not having it.
But you went on to it in a horrible way.
No. No, no. I'm sorry about that, but I'm just a little bit worried, that's all.
£3.60.
£3.
Say you're not paying, because he didn't go under the roundabout again.
I wouldn't mind just going around the roundabout.
No, come on, pay me up, I'll go get the bloody police, I've had enough.
Police?
That's it.
Why the police?
Because I want you out of my car, okay?
But it's only a...
He's getting angry, he's pulling me out of the car, I'm not joking.
Okay, pay him.
I'm out now.
Pay him.
He's pulling me out.
Pay him.
Okay, mate.
Careful of me.
I'm sorry about that, I'll pay you up proper.
I tell you what, give him the phone.
Do you want to just have one of my dad's for me?
I want me money, come. I have to meet the goose back on.
Tell him he's a horrid, horrid man.
He's been very horrid to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that it?
That's it.
Is that the lot?
That's all you get.
Tell him I hope he crashes.
I hope you crash.
Yeah,
no,
what? You'll never get in it again.
Sorry?
You'll never get in again.
And you never get out of your car when you crash, you bastard.
Bastard. You.
I hope you never get out of the wreckage.
Oh, you never get out of the wreckage, you old bastard. Oh, my God. No more. I'm going, I'm just heading out of Cambridge. I don't care where the hell I am.
John.
Oh, my God.
Keep it again. Listen to that adrenaline.
He threatened me with the police. That's twice now.
Paul, you've turned into a woman.
Oh.
Hey, has anybody been following you to...
Yeah, but I can't find him.
Hide in a bush.
It's a private nursing home, but I'm going in there anyway. That was the worst day of my life.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
It was great.
Thanks, mate.
See ya.
See you later. I've had it with this town. I never saw those shifting skies. I never saw the ground. All the sunset rise. I wanna live on that champagne. I'm building a frame. There's a foot in my 10-yard stare. Thinking of that pain.
Okay, he's been picked up. His mate found him. Good one to end on. I could sit on. some news is coming in. Let's check it for you, see if it's worth looking at before I go. You know about this. Before I do, just to say thanks to Peter Bainham, to Paul Garner, to Ollie and Rebecca. And news is in now. One of them news, and the Catholic Church is in turmoil today after a vision of Christ appeared in Portugal and deeply embarrassed a large number of Boxing Day pilgrims at a holy site where the Virgin Mary has been appearing regularly for 10 years. Cardinals have been addressing the crowd for 20 minutes when a man who was recognizably Christ appeared dancing in the sky and shouting lewd remarks. Stunned witnesses said he then tore his clothes off and swooped low over the crowd, menacing them with a giant double penis and uttering pornographic runes, among them drink St. Peter's piss and I shag moorhens. A badly shaken Cardinal Hume said later, I began to question my beliefs quite fundamentally when I saw the Lord openly rubbing himself in an impure way, but my faith deserted me completely when he shoved the sun up his arse.